Welcome back. We're continuing with our course, Developing Great Commission Skills. This is the final video as we are treating the skill Managing Ministry Time. And our skill topic for this video will be Teaching and Preaching Preparation, which is a major part, certainly, of a pastor's role, particularly if that pastor is either the lone pastor, a solo pastor of a church, or perhaps the pastor who is designated as the teaching pastor of the church. What I have found is that in many cases, the time consumed by teaching and preaching preparation for a pastor is one of the largest time consumption elements in a pastor's week. Now, that does make sense if that pastor's role is to be, say, the teaching pastor in a very large church where the vast majority of his or her role is the teaching and preaching role. It makes sense to spend lots and lots of time in teaching and preaching preparation. But when it comes to the average pastor, those of us who pastor much smaller churches, often being the lone pastor, the sole pastor of a church, there's so much more that we're responsible for besides the teaching and the preaching that it's unrealistic to be able to devote gigantic chunks of time to teaching and preaching preparation. Now, I realize that this might be sensitive territory for some of us because, you know, most of us who felt the call to pastoral ministry in large part were thinking about the fact that our calling was to be a preacher, to be a Bible teacher. And so that was one of the primary compelling motivations for us to pursue additional education, for us to pursue serving God in that pastoral role. But the challenge is, what about all of the other things that need to be done, and how do you fit all of that into one person's work week? Now, let me be clear here. What am I not saying? Let's start there. I'll begin by explaining what I'm not saying. You know, I'm not saying that the teaching and preaching ministry of a church are unimportant. I'm not saying that there is no power, no authority in the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The fact is, there is great power, great authority in the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You know, God speaks reality into existence. He speaks truth. And we're told in Scripture that when the word goes out, it never returns void. So the preaching and the teaching ministry is very, very powerful. And I don't in any way want to suggest that that is not the case. What I am suggesting, though, is that there has to be a balance between the role of preaching and teaching and all of the other roles that are involved in a pastor's responsibilities. You know, finally, I'm not saying that the authority of Scripture should in any way be held in low regard and not be called upon to serve as our guide for what we are to believe and how we are to live. The Word of God is our guide. It's our anchor. It's our true north in terms of both orthodoxy, what we believe, and orthopractice, what we do, the actions that we take. Well, what am I saying? What I am saying is that the methodology of preparation for teaching and preaching is often padded with unnecessary elements that are time wasters. And so that's what we're trying to work around here. We are in no way impugning the power and the authority of the Word of God preached and taught. What we are stressing is developing a methodology for how we prepare to preach, how we prepare to teach, such that time is highly valued, time is used very well, and time is left for all of the other responsibilities that pastors need to fulfill. Now, you know, my years in seminary were wonderful years. I learned a great deal, and I cherish those moments that I had in seminary. When I was first given the opportunity to study, I didn't quite know if I should take that opportunity because I was older. I was almost 40 years old. I was married. I had four children that were, you know, they had needs of their own. They were in schools. They were in sports. They were in all sorts of things. We were living in Southern California. The particular seminary that was in view was out of state. We would have to be pulling up stakes and relocating. There was a whole lot that was going to be involved in all that. And I hesitated to take that plunge. But in speaking one day with a very wise professor who had become a bit of a mentor and advisor to me, he shared this. He said to me, "Ken, if you have the opportunity to marinate and study God's Word for 3 years, to marinate in the study of God's Word for 3 years, I advise you to take it." Well, I did take his advice, and I never regretted that. And so, you know, I learned about preaching and teaching. I learned about preparation. I learned about, you know, things like hermeneutics and exegesis and homiletics. I studied Greek. I studied Hebrew. I learned to navigate language resources. I learned to get to the bottom of etymology and contextual usages and nuances in verb tenses and English translations. I studied theology under gifted theologians. I read books. I studied courses in preaching and teaching. I studied sermons by such renowned preachers as Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield, Charles Spurgeon. I experienced what I consider a very rich, full, and dynamic evangelical teaching and preaching education, for which I am immensely grateful. But once I left seminary and I stepped into the role of the solo pastor of a church that needed to be revitalized, I discovered that those techniques that I had learned in seminary, all that study I had done, approaching a preaching or teaching text, essentially from the beginning, from scratch, if you will, I learned that it was going to be very difficult to follow through with every single element that I had been taught about preparation every single time I was preparing a sermon or every single time I was preparing to teach Bible. I knew that that wasn't going to work because, you see, we need to be doing more than just teaching and preaching. We need to be going and making disciples. Now, obviously, there's some overlap there, but they are two very separate things. It's one thing to preach and teach to an existing congregation of people who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's another thing to reach lost people who are living without faith, who are living without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult to man both of those stations when every time we preach, every time we teach, we're starting from scratch, from zero, and building from the ground up. So, here's a tip for you. I came to realize that being fruitful and multiplying was going to take much more than just preaching and teaching. And I discovered that I was not going to be able to start from scratch with every single preparation. Okay? Now, let me share with you something that I'm referring to as the Great assumption. Obviously, a little play on words there. The great assumption. You know, we assume that if we teach enough, that we preach enough, that somehow the gospel is going to spill automatically out of every person in our church into the people living around them without faith, drawing them to Christ. Well, it would be wonderful if that was the case. But I've discovered that assumption proves faulty virtually every time. It doesn't work quite like that. Spreading the gospel is not something that happens accidentally, not something that happens incidentally. It's something that we have to work for. We have to groom. We have to become intentionally strategic about moving the gospel forward. Painstaking, intentional strategies and commitments that are prioritized in the church. Now, therein lies the challenge. Here's the reality. If a pastor needs to pour significant amounts of time into teaching and preaching preparation for the congregation, and needs to pour significant amounts of time preparing and leading the congregation in the Great Commission ministry in the communities surrounding the church, that pastor soon learns that there isn't enough ministry time to go around. Learns that ministry time usage needs to be recalibrated. Now, let me go back to my seminary years for a moment. While I was in seminary, I studied systematic theology under Dr. R.C. Sproul, S-P-R-O-U-L, Sproul. Some of you may know of Dr. Sproul. He was quite a renowned theologian who passed away in recent years. He was a very gifted theologian. He was a gifted preacher, a gifted teacher. And I had a very unusual opportunity with him while I was in seminary. For about 6 months, my wife and I were part of a small group of people that met at the home of someone in the area, probably 10 or 12 of us. And Dr. R.C. Sproul was our Bible teacher, and he was taking us through the Gospel of Luke. So, on one particular evening, as we gathered to sit under his teaching, he made this statement at the beginning of the evening. He said, I have a confession to make. He said, I have to confess that I'm unprepared for teaching this evening. He said, I think it might be the first time in my life when I've come into a teaching assignment unprepared. And he said, I had some time set aside today that I was going to think through the evening and review my notes. And he said, but there were some events of the day that took me away from that, and I just did not have the time. Now, maybe he would have benefited from taking this course and learning about managing ministry time, but hey, that's another issue. So he says this. He said, I just didn't have enough time to get planned for this evening. And so he paused there for a moment, I think for dramatic effect. And then he said this. He said, however, I am not altogether unfamiliar with the Gospel of Luke. What a great phrase. I'm not altogether unfamiliar with the Gospel of Luke. Well, of course not. I mean, how many times had this man taught through the Gospel of Luke in his lifetime? How many times had he preached from the Gospel of Luke in his lifetime? It wouldn't surprise me if he could practically recite the entire Gospel of Luke from all of his experience. Well, see, what he was doing is he was dipping into this reservoir of knowledge and experience and application of the Gospel of Luke that was his, an accumulation of Bible knowledge that had taken place over a lifetime. And he was drawing from that reservoir to bring teaching to us. Not surprisingly, his teaching was very powerful that evening by the grace of God, and he just picked up where we had left off the previous week and spent about an hour with us teaching us from the Gospel of Luke. Now, what I would like to suggest to you is that those of us who are in the ministry of preaching and teaching, maybe we haven't accumulated the gigantic reservoir of someone like Dr. Sproul. But we still have gathered knowledge, information, experience, know-how, application. We've seen the gospel. We've seen the word of God work in our lives, work through our lives, work in people around us. In other words, when it comes to preaching and teaching, we are not starting from zero. We are not starting from zero. We are starting from a position of knowledge, a position of experience, a position of know-how. And we need to draw from that know-how in our preaching experience. We don't need to start every single sermon, every single teaching preparation with a blank sheet of paper, begin to read the scriptures, study the languages, read through all the commentators that we can get our hands on, and build a gigantic preaching, teaching preparation fit for, getting an A in a class in seminary. Now, it's very helpful to know how to do those things, to have learned how to do those things. But we don't need to do those things every single time. They take a great deal of time if that's going to be your posture week after week after week. I've had pastors that are preaching to congregations of 15, 20, 25 people tell me that they spend 20 hours a week in sermon preparation. Well, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. You know, to spend that much time trying to create the perfectly crafted sermon to preach to people who already know Jesus while hundreds of people outside are living life without him. You see where this is going? You see what I'm driving at? It's so important that we find that way to balance. We find that way to balance. Now, here's a question for you. Why is the evangelical church today so weak in terms of conversion growth? That is particularly the case with the church in the U.S. And here's the answer. It's because we're largely talking to ourselves. We're largely talking to ourselves. We're talking to people that are already children of God, already have bought in to the truth about Jesus Christ, already support the gospel. We're spending so much time preparing to teach and preach to those folks that we're failing to reach those we're called to reach, those that Jesus had in mind when he said, go and make disciples. So, let me share one other personal experience of mine before we wrap up this video. In fact, before we wrap up our discussion of managing ministry time altogether. Some years ago, I had been invited by a particular denominational group to come to a particular location where they owned some, it was a conference center. that they held all kinds of meetings at throughout the year. And so there was a group meeting at the conference center. I was asked to come, and I was given about 90 minutes to share my perspective on church revitalization and what kind of training approach that I took in training pastors and leaders for church revitalization. Just an opportunity to give exposure to those kinds of things. So I did that, and I walked through my approach. It largely has to do with alignment and aligning with the Great Commission, alignment of vision and strategy and structure, the alignment of people, both insiders and newcomers. And so, you know, I did something that I'd done many, many, many times. I just shared a window into the ministry that I was responsible for, what we had to offer them if they wanted to go in that direction. Well, toward the end of that presentation, one of the pastors at this meeting asked me a question. And he said, "Ken, I'm sure there's a place for strategy somewhere in ministry. But isn't it really all about the Word of God being powerfully proclaimed?" Now, his point of view was, in a sense, undermining what I had been presenting, which was about how to strategically position yourself to move the Great Commission forward. And he was leaning into this idea of the power, the authority of the preached word. And I've already said how much I support that. But I felt like he was missing the point. So I said this. I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "Do the pastors in this denomination powerfully proclaim the word of God?" And he said to me, "Absolutely." So I said to him, "Well, if it's all about the power of the Word of God proclaimed, and the pastors of this denomination powerfully proclaim that word, why is it that most of the churches in your denomination are in long-term and plateau?" Well, fortunately, there was a break for dinner at that point, because the room had gotten a little bit tense, if you can imagine. So we went to dinner, and then there were other activities throughout the evening. Well, that night, I was troubled. I felt like my response to this gentleman, while in my mind it was accurate, it was not helpful. It was more that I got a bit defensive about the nature of my ministry, and so I pushed back. And so I began to pray, I began to think through, and I'm going to share something with you. This might sound a little silly, but the riddle occurred to me. You know the riddle that says, "Hey, if a tree falls in the forest, but there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound?" Now, that's not really much of a riddle. Sound is vibration. When a tree falls through the air vibrates and there is sound. You know, that sound doesn't need to be heard to be a sound by definition. So yes, when a tree falls in the forest, even if there's no one there to hear it, it makes a sound. But I thought to myself, if the gospel is powerfully proclaimed, but there are no ears of the lost there to hear it, has the gospel really been proclaimed? And I thought to myself, not really. You know, unless the gospel is heard, what's the point? And you see, we're talking to ourselves so much in the church. Now, the next morning when we reconvened, I apologized for my rather terse remark, but I said this. I explained my experience with thinking through the falling of the tree and whatnot, and I said to them, listen, what strategy will do for you is it will put the ears of the unreached, the ears of the lost, within earshot of the gospel so that the gospel can be heard. Now, as it relates to our topic for this video, the point is this. It's not so much about how much work do we put into preaching and teaching preparation. The real issue, if we're going to move the Great Commission forward, is who's listening? Who's hearing that word? Let's make sure that we have ample time to actually reach the lost and not bury ourselves just in preparation for the preaching and teaching. Now that wraps up our video in terms of teaching and preaching preparation. So let me give us a quick rundown of the six skill topics that we touched on in this particular skill. We started with time allotment, making sure that we spread out the work of ministry adequately throughout the time frames that we are involved. We talked about proactive scheduling, where we schedule our time commitments in advance so that we avoid two things. One is failing to fulfill responsibilities by not planning, and secondly, getting into a crunch because we waited too late to make those plans. We talked about the one-touch calendar filing system. Those three sets of file folders, the daily 1 through 31s, the monthly January through December, and the projected years to come down the path. How we can take one item properly filed, and it will always be where it needs to be so we can process it when we need to process it, without losing it, without having to think about it all the time. We talked about email and voicemail control and response by having designated checkpoints throughout the day and planned response times. We talked about meetings on purpose, where everyone is well informed about the meeting in advance. Meetings are started on time, ended on time, and everyone knows in advance what's going to be talked about, what needs to be decided, what actions will need to be determined. And then finally, we wrapped up with this discussion we've just had on teaching and preaching preparation. So, that concludes our study of managing ministry time. And so we're going to wrap that up. Now, with our next session, we're going to start into the next skill. What is that next skill? The next skill has to do with working with staff and leaders. A very important consideration. And as usual, we'll have six videos that examine that particular skill, working with staff and leaders. Until then, may God bless your efforts on His behalf. May God bless your ongoing studies. In the name of Jesus, amen.